And we'll get into the message here tonight. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And let's pray. excuse me. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight at New Testament Baptist Church. And I just pray that you would speak through me tonight, through this message, and just help me to be a help and a blessing. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak through me and guide me and give me wisdom and give me clarity of mind tonight, Lord, and help me to be a blessing and a help to the people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Well, here in Philippians chapter number 4, of course, is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the Church of Philippi. And the Apostle Paul started the Church of Philippi back in Acts 16. He answered the Macedonian call, and he went to Philippi, which was the chief city of Macedonia, and he met Lydia, I think was her name there, and that Lydia on the Sabbath day, and then he cast the demon out of the demon-possessed girl, and of course, there were people that were making money off of her, and so they didn't like that, and they ended up throwing the Apostle Paul and Silas in prison, right? And then it was there in prison. You know, they had that earthquake, and they could have escaped, but they didn't. They stayed there, and then the jailer comes rushing in, and he was getting ready to kill himself, but he sees that they're still there, and so he says, well, what must I do to be saved? And he ends up getting saved, and his family, and they end up getting baptized. And it was through these converts that the church there at Philippi was started. And this church loved the Apostle Paul, and they cared about him deeply. And they supported him, and they prayed for him. And so this was a very missions-minded church. And of course, we know the Apostle Paul was a missionary, right? Probably the greatest missionary that there ever was. You know, and I'd love to even be just a small amount of what the Apostle Paul was in the country of Uruguay. And but this church there at Philippi was a very missions-minded church. And we as a church, we should desire to be missions-minded. Of course, this is your missions month, where you spend a month focusing on missions, but it shouldn't just be a month when we think about missions. We should be thinking about missions all throughout the year. Yes, we might spend this extra time just to focus on it a little bit more and think about it a little bit more, but we should be thinking about missions all the time and focus on it all the time. And this church at Philippi was a very missions-minded church, and I see four qualities here in Philippians chapter number 4 that the church at Philippi had that helped them to be a missions-minded church, and four qualities that we as a church can apply. Of course, the church is not this building, not this beautiful auditorium that we're in. The church is each and every one of you. And of course, the church is a called-out assembly, you know, a people. It's the Christians. And so as each and every one of us are more missions-minded, the church as a whole becomes more of a missions-minded church. So let's look at the four qualities that the church at Philippi had that helped them to be a missions-minded church. Look at verse number 10. It says, But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. So look, notice that word care there. The church there at Philippi, they cared about the Apostle Paul. You know, they cared about the struggles he faced. They cared about what he was doing. They cared about the ministry that he was in. And they cared about the problems he had. So this church there at Philippi cared about the Apostle Paul. And you know what? As a church, in order for us to be missions-minded, we must care about others. Yes, we must care about missionaries, but it should go beyond that. You know, we should care about people. We should care about people in countries around the world where these flags are represented here in the church tonight. We as a church, we must care about others in order to be missions-minded. But you know what? In order for us to care about others, you know, it must start right here. It must start right here at Hamilton. You know, sometimes I think it's easier for us to send $5 or $100, you know, around the world to a missionary than it is to, you know, walk across the street to our neighbor and give them a tract or invite them to church. You know, we must, it starts with caring for others right here where we live. You know, the Bible says in John 3:16, it says, For God so loved You know, it doesn't say the United States or Canada, right? It says, for God so loved the world. God loved the entire world. He loves each and every person in the world tonight. And in order for us to get the heart of God, we must learn to care for others. You know, if you're here tonight and you think, you know what, I don't really have a heart for people here. I don't really feel that, you know, I can do much for the gospel. You know, we should go to the Lord and ask him for his heart. You know, the truth is that the Lord loves people and cares about people far more than we love people and care about others. And the truth is, we need to go to the Lord and ask him for his heart. And say, Lord, you know what? I don't have the heart for people like I should. I don't care for people like I should. Please give me your heart, Lord. I want your heart. I want your heart for souls like you have. I want to care about people like you care about people. I want to love people like you love them. And go to the Lord and ask him for his heart. And that's something that I try to pray often. I know that, you know, I don't love people as much as I should. I know I don't give out as many tracts as I should and don't invite as many people as I should to church. And I'm constantly convicted about caring more for people. But in order for us as a church to be missions-minded, we must care about others. We must love others. You know, I believe that if we get a heart for God's big world, he will get a heart for our little world. You know, as we care about people here in Hamilton, as we care about people around the world in other countries and other continents around the world, you know, I believe that the Lord will help you right here at New Testament Baptist Church, and will take care of you right here in New Testament Baptist Church. So missions-minded church cares about others. And you know what? The fact that the Apostle Paul knew that the church there at Philippi cared about him, that caused him to rejoice. Look in verse number 10. It says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. The Apostle Paul rejoiced that the church there at Philippi cared about him and cared about what he was going through. And you know what? You know, of course, you know, I send out prayer letters every month now, and I just send out ours this morning, and I've already gotten a few emails back from people that said, you know what, we're praying for you. You know, we're thankful for the people that you were able to reach, and you're thankful for the progress you've been able to make. And, you know, as I receive those emails, you know, that causes us to rejoice and our spirits to be lifted. And you know, there are many missionaries around the world who maybe facing a difficult time. And when they get an email back from a supporting church saying, you know what, I'm praying for you. We're praying for your family and we care about you. You know, that will cause that missionary to rejoice in the Lord and their spirits to be lifted. But then also notice that that the Apostle Paul, he was content right where he was. Look in verse number 11. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The Apostle Paul was saying, you know what? I'm not asking for more money. He says, you know, I know you supported me, and thank you for that. Thank you for caring for me. But he's saying, you know what? I'm not asking for more from you. And he had learned contentment. And that's something that each and every one of us should learn. We should learn to be content. Whether it's in the ups of life, you know, when things are going great, or when things are going not so good, right? When we get a pay raise or when we get a pay cut, you know, we need to learn to be content. And how did the Apostle Paul learn contentment? Well, look in verse number 13, and there's the answer right there. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Apostle Paul had learned to get his strength from the Lord. You know, sometimes when we're facing a difficulty or, you know, when we have a job loss or a trial in our lives, you know, we'll go to our fellow man or we'll go to, you know, social media, of course, or something like that, and we'll post on there, you know. But the truth is, you know, we should go to the Lord and look to the Lord for our strength and our help. Instead of, you know, relying on all the earthly things, you know, we need to go to the Lord and rely upon him for our strength to carry us through. You know, I know we haven't served a term in Uruguay yet, but I already know, and I've had other missionaries, and I've seen other missionaries, and other missionaries have told me that, you know, in the beginning, it's very difficult. You know, very difficult trying to get a church started. And, you know, I don't want to be a downer. I'm a very optimistic person, and I'm always look at things, you know, glass half full. But the truth is, and the reality is that there will be difficulties when we get to the field. And if I, as a missionary, don't rely upon the Lord for my strength, you know, we're not going to be successful. We're not going to be used of the Lord. I must rely on the Lord for my strength. We as a church must rely upon the Lord for our strength. So the first point is that a missions-minded church cares about people, cares about others, not only around the world, but right here in Hamilton and the surrounding areas here. But let's also look in verse number 14 for the second point here. Verse 14, it says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Communicate. You know, of course, we don't use it. It's not used how we use it today. Today we use it like, you know, we're having a conversation. But the word communicate there means that they helped him. They helped the Apostle Paul with the problems he had, and they sent money to the Apostle Paul. And so the church there at Philippi helped him. So the second point is that a missions-minded church not only cares about others, but helps others. You know, this is caring in action. You know, this is not only caring about others, but taking that a step further and doing what you can to help others. You know, we know the story of the feeding of the 5,000. You know, when before Jesus fed the 5,000, the Bible says that when he saw them, he had compassion on them, right? And then it doesn't say Jesus walked away and left them on their own at that point, does it? No. It says he had compassion on them, and then he healed their sick. And then, of course, he fed the 5,000. So when he had compassion, that caused him to do something. And he took action, and he was a help and a blessing. And each and every one of us, you know, maybe you know someone in the church who has a need, or maybe you know a neighbor or a friend who has a need, and maybe the Lord's enabled you to help them. You know, it could be a spiritual need, it could be a financial need, or a material need, whatever it is. You know, I hope that you'll do what you can to help others. You know, I heard a story about a town called North Platte, Nebraska. Most of you probably have never heard of this town, and I had never heard of it until I heard this story. But this is a little small town, North Platte, Nebraska. And during World War II, a lot of the trains carrying the soldiers to the front lines towards Europe would go through this town in North Platte, Nebraska, and make about a 10-minute stop there just to kind of refuel, and then the train would be on its way. And one day, the townspeople heard that the train coming through the next day was going to be carrying soldiers from their town in North Platte, Nebraska. And so, you know, they got excited, and the word spread throughout town that the train the next day was going to be carrying soldiers from their hometown. And so the next day, you know, when the train was due to arrive, there were about 500 people from that town there waiting at the train station. But you know what? When that train arrived, they gathered, you know, gifts and cards and coffee and all kinds of things like that to give to the soldiers from their town. And the train came the next day. But you know what? It wasn't the soldiers from their hometown on that train. It was some soldiers from Kansas that were on that train, you know. And of course, you know, you can imagine their disappointment, and you can imagine how upset they were, you know, that it wasn't the guys from their hometown, and they had prepared all these gifts to give to them. But then they said, you know what? We have all these gifts. Why don't we give them to these guys from Kansas? And so they did that. And the soldiers from Kansas, of course, they were excited, and their spirits were lifted, and they went on their way. And then they had an idea. They said, you know what? Since all the trains come through this little town, why don't we do that every time the trains come through here? Why don't we, you know, set up a little canteen, and why don't we be a help and a blessing to all the soldiers that come through here? And so they did. And I think throughout World War II, I think about 6 million soldiers, or probably more, were helped by the people there in North Platte, Nebraska, and even some of the surrounding towns helped them. True story. And a man wrote a book about it. And, you know, as some of the soldiers would talk about that, they would, you know, they would inevitably just, you know, break into tears as they would start to recount how the people there in North Platte, Nebraska was such a help and a blessing to them. It's an amazing story. But I tell you that to tell you this, that, you know what, they could have said, well, this train's just making a little 10-minute stop here, and we can't really do much. And no one would have faulted them, right? But they decided to use that little window of time to be a help and a blessing to those soldiers. And you know, the truth is, each and every one of us, you know, we have windows of time when we can be a help and a blessing to others. Whether it's when the Holy Spirit might speak to you to maybe to give someone a tract, or when the Holy Spirit might speak to you to say, you know what, you have the finances to help this other person who's struggling in the church, and the Holy Spirit might speak to you to be a help and a blessing to others. And I hope that we'll use those opportunities to help others. Use the opportunities that we're given to give out the gospel. Use the opportunities that we're given to maybe help someone spiritually, or to help maybe a neighbor or a friend with a need that they might have. Let's use the opportunities that we have to help others, not ignore the opportunities or let those opportunities pass by. You know, by the way, you know, anytime the Holy Spirit, you know, you have a prompting of the Holy Spirit and you believe it's the Holy Spirit, don't just ignore that. And I hope that we'll listen to that and we'll follow through and we'll do what the Holy Spirit wants. So Missions-Minded Church cares about others and then helps others. Let's quickly look at verse number 15. I'm sorry, it's been a long day here. Verse number 15, it says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving." But look at those last three words there. It says, "But ye only." But ye only. Notice that this was the only church that helped the Apostle Paul. You know, I'm sure there were other churches that knew about the Apostle Paul, right? I mean, he was, a missionary, traveled all over, and he started many churches, and he did great works for the Lord. And I'm sure other churches knew about what he was doing, and they maybe could have supported him. But this was the only church there at Philippi that supported him, the Bible says, at least there in Philippi and Thessalonica. And you know, if this church was like so many other churches, they would have maybe compared themselves to other churches, right? And they would have said, well, you know, this church in Toronto, they're not helping the Apostle Paul. And this church in London, they're not helping the Apostle Paul. And I know these aren't the Greek cities, but I'm just making those up. But they could have said, you know what, all these churches, they're not helping the Apostle Paul. And they could have said, why should we do anything to help the Apostle Paul? But you know what, they didn't compare themselves with others. They didn't look at what others were doing. They just decided to keep their focus on Christ. And that's the third point. A missions-minded church keeps its focus on Christ. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to look at what others are doing in the church, you know, whether what the areas that others are serving in the church or what others are giving or you know, the possessions that others might have in the church, and we'll kind of compare what we have with them. But the truth is, you know, men will fail you, and they'll fail you, but the truth is the Lord will never fail us. And we need to keep our focus, instead of focusing on what others are doing, we need to keep our focus on Christ. You know, Christ is a standard, not everyone else in the church. The Lord is a standard. Instead of saying, how much are they giving? Say, Lord, what do you want me to give? Instead of saying, how much are they giving to missions? Say, Lord, how much do you want me to give to missions? Instead of saying, what areas of service are they doing? Say, Lord, how do you want me to serve you? Let's decide to keep our focus on Christ and our attention on Christ and away from everyone else. And that'll keep us out of a lot of trouble, won't it? You know, a lot of the trouble we get into is because a lot of our attention's on our fellow man when it should be kept on Christ. Let's keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and because the Lord will never fail us. The Lord will never let us down. Let's keep our focus on Christ. A missions-minded church cares about others. A missions-minded church helps others. A missions-minded church keeps its focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look in verse number 16. Verse 16, it says, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Once and again. Notice this church, you know, helped the Apostle Paul over and over again. It wasn't just like a one-time deal where they helped him and then they said, all right, well, you're on your own from now on. No, you know, they helped the Apostle Paul over and over again. It was a continual thing. And this church made missions a priority. And that's the fourth point. A missions-minded church makes missions a priority. They could have said, well, you know what? You know, we helped the Apostle Paul last year, and why do we have to do more this year? And they could have gotten weary of that, like maybe some of us are. But the truth is that this church made missions a priority. You know, we as a church, you know, we need to make missions a priority. Why? Why do we need to make missions a priority? Well, one reason is because there's such a great need for missionaries. There's such a great need for world evangelism. You know, let me read a statistic here. In 1950, there were 2.5 billion people alive in the world. 2.5 billion people. And there were about 100,000 missionaries going out from the United States to reach the world. So, you know, that's one missionary per 25,000 people. And sadly, that number's gotten worse. You know, I wish I could stand here today and say there's many more missionaries out there today. But sadly, it's gotten worse. You know, today the population's, 7.5 billion or more, and there's about 29,000 missionaries going out from the U.S. to reach the world. And I think only 7,000 to 10,000 of those are good, solid, independent Baptist missionaries. As you can see, there's a great need for more missionaries. Thankfully, you know, it's not just the U.S. Thankfully, Canada and Mexico, Philippines, and other countries are sending out missionaries. You know, and I think part of that's because the United States is lacking, and sadly, the United States is not sending out missionaries like it should. But the truth is, there's still a great need for more missionaries to go out to reach this world. There's still a great need in many countries for more missionaries to go there. So what can we do? Well, first, we need to fast and pray for more missionaries. You know, each and every one of us should pray that more missionaries will go out. Luke 10:2, it says, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great." You know, there's a great harvest all around the world. You know, I believe that there's a great harvest right here in Hamilton. And I believe that there's a great harvest in Uduwai, where we're going. You know, I mean, the people there in Uduwai, you know, they're warm and friendly, and they'll sit down with you, and they'll listen to the gospel, and many folks are being saved, and there's a great harvest there. But why is it not reached? Well, Luke 10:2, it says the harvest is great, but what? The laborers are few. The laborers are few. You know, I believe that the reason that the world isn't reached is because there's not enough laborers going out to reach the world. We need to pray. And then the rest of the verse says, pray there for the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And one thing we need to do is pray that more laborers will go out into the harvest and pray that more people would answer the call to be missionaries. You know, that also includes be missionaries right here in Hamilton. Sometimes we forget that and think that missions is just something that we do, you know, across the water, across the ocean, or in South America or Africa. You know what? Missions is right here also in Hamilton. We need to pray that more missionaries would go. You know, we pray for other countries. Pray for, it would be good. You know, get a globe and begin praying for some of those countries. And maybe you know some missionaries there. Pray for those missionaries and pray for more missionaries to go to those countries. You know, learn about countries. Get a heart for those countries. You know, we need to give to missions. Our churches need to send missionaries out. But the truth is that each and every one of us, we should be missionaries where the Lord has planted us. You know, sometimes we have the idea that the Lord hasn't called me to be a missionary. But the truth is that you're either a missionary or a mission field. And you know what? You're a mission field if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, and you don't know if you're on your way to heaven. And if you don't know that tonight, I hope that you'll get that settled. Talk to me or a pastor or someone else, and I hope that you'll get that settled tonight. But I believe that most of us here tonight know we're on our way to heaven. And so that makes us a missionary. And the truth is that you may never be called to a foreign field. The Lord might not want you to go to Uduwai, although I'd love you to come to Uruguay. Again, there's really cheap steak, by the way, you know, in Uduwai. I'll just throw that in there. But you may never be a missionary in a foreign field. But the truth is, the Lord's called you to be missionary right here in Hamilton. There's people here in Hamilton that only you can reach. You know, some of you men, you work jobs, and maybe you don't enjoy the job. Maybe it's just a way for you to provide for your family, and you just punch that time clock, you know, at 9 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever time you start, and you end at 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock or whatever. But the truth is, the Lord might have you at that job to be missionary to your coworkers. You know, you might be the only Christian at your job. You might be the only person who's saved at your job. You might be the only person who goes to a good Bible preaching, gospel preaching church. And you need to be a good example at your job. That's why it's so important, you know, to have a good testimony and to do right at your job, and not to, you know, have one testimony on Sunday and another testimony throughout the week. But it's so important that we act right and do right at a workplace, because the Lord may have you at that job to reach your coworkers. So I hope that we'll be missionaries right where the Lord has planted us. You know, I like this statement. Missions is not the ministry of choice for a few hyperactive Christians in the church. Missions is the purpose of the church. You know, let's do our part for missions. Let's do our part to reach Hamilton and the surrounding areas here. You know, there's so many people in this area. I forget what the population of Hamilton was. A few hundred thousand, right? 700,000 or something like that? Yeah, and so there's a lot of people here, okay? And not a lot of independent Baptist churches that are going out preaching the gospel. And we need to do our part to reach this area. And again, you know, there's a great harvest of souls right here. Let's do our part to reach this area with the gospel. And then we see, you know, the result. For a church that is missions-minded and focused on missions and focused on reaching their area for Christ, that there's three results. Look in verse number 17. Verse number 17, it says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." You know, as you support missions, as you pray for missionaries, as you do your part for world evangelism, that you'll have fruit that will abound to your account in heaven. You know, as the missionaries you support reach people in their countries, that you'll also have fruit in your account as a result of that. And so you'll take part in that. And praise the Lord for that. And wouldn't it be great to be, the church at Philippi, and to be a supporting church of the Apostle Paul? You know, they have all kinds of fruit in heaven on their account as a result of their giving to the Apostle Paul and supporting the Apostle Paul. So a missions-minded church has fruit in their account. Then also, look in verse number 18. It says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable while pleasing to God. And as you give it to missions, the Lord will be pleased. It'll go up to the Lord as a sweet smell to the Lord, and he will be well pleased with your giving. Then lastly, in verse number 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, as you as a church, as a whole, give to missions and support missions and pray for missionaries, the Bible says that the Lord will supply your needs, and your needs will be taken care of. You know, it doesn't say your wants. It doesn't say everything you want. It doesn't say you'll have a, you know, multi-million dollar building or anything like that, although you have these fancy little microphones. These are nice, right? But it does say that the needs of the church will be taken care of. I will not bend this. I heard a story, but someone bent this. We won't mention a name here. But anyways, you know, but as you support missions, you know, your needs will be taken care of, and the Lord will provide your needs. And it's amazing, you know, I've seen, you know, many churches that give to missions, and you know, you might think that, wow, you know, how do they give so much to missions? But it's amazing seeing how the Lord provides their needs and takes care of the church as they support missions. So let's decide that we'll be a missions-minded church and focus on missions. You know, maybe there's an area here where you're lacking. Maybe you need to pray that you'll have a greater heart for people, whether it's here in Hamilton or around the world. Maybe you need to pray that, you know, and decide that you'll listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you know, to help others, or maybe do what you can to be helping and blessing others. Again, you know, that might mean, you know, giving out a tract. That might mean helping someone financially, or maybe giving someone some spiritual encouragement, but doing what you can to help others. Or maybe you didn't need to decide that you'll keep your focus more on Christ and not look to others, not compare yourself to others, but just keep your focus on Christ. Or maybe you decide that you'll make missions a priority. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, I hope that we'll make that decision. Let's pray. Lord,